Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to the readings for this Sunday, the Feast of Christ the King. It's one of my most favorite feasts, and the main part is, of course, because Christ is declared King, King of the universe, but not only King of the universe, but King of my land and King of my heart. Is he your king? Do you give him the homage that belongs to him? Are you obedient to him as your king? He's a king of love. He's a king of mercy. He's a king of peace. Do those qualities reign in your life? Draw closer to Christ as king. So let's take a look at those readings. The first is from Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 to 12, and then 15 to 17. 11 to 12, and then 15 to 17. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will look after and tend my sheep. As a shepherd tends his flock when he finds himself among his scattered sheep, so will I tend my sheep. My sheep are scattered. That's what he's saying. I will rescue them from every place where they were scattered when it was cloudy and dark. I myself will pasture my sheep. I myself will give them rest, says the Lord God. Do you notice this? Do you see how personal this is? I myself will tend my sheep. God is our shepherd. Jesus tells us that he will be our shepherd, that he will care for us, that he will bring us back, that he will love us, that he will bless us. The lost I will seek out, the strayed I will bring back, the injured I will bind up, the sick I will heal, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy if we're depending on ourselves. The sleek and the strong, those who think that they need no one, those who don't need any care at all, I've got everything under control. Those are the people that the Lord says, I won't shepherd them because they are not willing to allow me to exercise my rightful place in their lives, their shepherd, their savior, and their king. Is Jesus that for you? Is he your shepherd? Do you go to him in your need? Is he your savior? Do you understand how desperately we need to be saved every moment? Are you willing to have him be king of your heart, not you, not be your own Lord and master, but allow Christ as king to shepherd you and to care for you and to bring you safely home? It's, you know, it's not just, oh yeah, this is a nice day. No. If you really honor God this day, then he becomes more the shepherd of your life, the king of your life. Is he? Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. That's a psalm in the scriptures that's probably one of the most quoted, if not the most quoted psalm. We say it very blithely, the Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. Have you known the restful waters he brings you to? Have you experienced the refreshment that he gives you? Have you experienced the fruit of his kingship in your life? Draw closer. Ask him. Bring him your needs. Bring him your confusion. Bring him your deep concerns. Bring him your disappointments, your failures, your successes. Bring them all to him, everything. Bring it to him. Let his lordship reign over every aspect of your life. And the second reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 20 to 26, and then verse 28. Brothers and sisters, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through man, the resurrection of the dead came also through man. For just as in Adam all die, so too in Christ shall all be brought to life, but each one in proper order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end when he hands over the kingdom to his God and Father. I can't wait to see that, when Jesus hands us over to the Father, when he has destroyed every sovereignty and every authority and power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, when everything is subjected to him. Then the Son himself will also be subjected to the one who subjected everything to him, so that God may be all in all. God in Christ gives over the kingdom to his Father at the end of the world. And we are all subject, all of us, to the Father for eternal glory and eternal happiness. Because Scripture tells us, God, if we do, if we submit to his authority, if we embrace his authority, we live a life in Christ, with Christ, for the glory of the Father, then God, at that last judgment, when we stand there, God may be all in all. God will be everything to everyone who has given his or her life to him. It's true. It's not, well, I don't get that, or I don't understand that. It's really not complicated if you accept who God is, the Creator and the Redeemer of the universe. Without him, we perish forever. With him, and especially through the Good Shepherd, his Son Jesus, if we follow him, if we obey him, if we receive all the gifts and graces that he chooses to give us, lavish upon us, then one day we will see him face to face, and we will enter into eternal glory with God. That's what God has for us. This is not just an idea. This is what God has for us. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 to 46, Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit upon his glorious throne, and all the nations will be assembled before him. And he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father.'" This is honestly what's going to happen, brothers and sisters. You want to be with this group? "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And this is how he knows his people. "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty." This is Christ in our neighbor. "I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. A stranger, and you welcomed me. Naked, and you clothed me. Ill, and you cared for me. In prison, and you visited me." And then the righteous will answer him and say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you?" And the king will say to them in reply, "Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of the least brothers of mine, you did for me." And then he will say to those on his left, "You do not want to be in this group. Depart from me, you accursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. A stranger, you gave me no welcome. Naked, and you gave me no clothing. Ill and in prison, and you did not care for me." And then they will answer and say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or ill or in prison and not minister to your needs?" And he will answer them, "Amen, I say to you, what you did not do for one of these least ones, the ones we pay the least attention to in life, what you did not do for one of these least ones, you did not do for me. When we don't reach out to those in need, we are in effect rejecting Christ. And these will go off to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. The other day I was in a large office building, and I saw a man as I was walking down the hallway. I saw this man obviously looking for a particular office, and he didn't know where it was. That was obvious. He was looking at a sheet, and he was looking around and looking at signs. And so just as I went by him, I said, "May I help you?" I wasn't absolutely confident that I had the answer, but at least I could ask. And he asked me the question, and I was able to direct him to the right place, and it was where I was going. So I just walked with him just maybe, you know, a couple of yards to where he really needed to go. And I just said to him, "Well, have a blessed day," or something like that. And he turned to me and he said, "Thank you for showing me the way. But most of all, thank you for talking to me. I have no one really to talk to." He was a man who was alone in the world. How did I know that? I didn't know that, but God knew that. God allowed it to be by circumstance that I would be right there. I had a lot of things on my mind I was thinking, but praise God, in that moment, I was able to put myself aside and ask him if I could help him. And as I walked down the hall, he just called after me, "Thank you very much." Brothers and sisters, the poor and the weak and the needy are all around us. And it's not necessarily going to show. Many times, of course, it does. But it's not going to show necessarily and be terribly obvious. So it's your kindness toward the people who wait on you, as I've told you so many times. Thanking them. Honestly looking at them and thanking them. Because Jesus, our King, our Lord and our Savior, says to us, very, very clearly, whatever you do to the least of my brothers, you do for me. I have an Advent CD called Journey Through Advent. It is available to you by going to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ, and order the CD there called Journey Through Advent. The cost is $10. Or you may call 1-734-662-1730 and order by phone, 1-734-662-1730 and order by phone. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ, and order Journey Through Advent. It is the Sundays of Advent that I speak about. You may find it very helpful. May God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.